Welcome to Journal Club for December 28th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Dix. Some diseases are pretty straightforward to diagnose. If you're unfortunate enough to have something like Hep B or mononucleosis, your doctor should be able to order a test that will give you a definitive result fairly quickly. But that's not how all or even most diseases work. For a great number of illnesses, like chronic kidney disease, autoimmune disorders, or Wilson's disease, there may not be an antibody kit or reactive test or any other kind of rapid diagnostic kit. There's no single point-in-time way to tell if you have the condition or not. The only way your doctors can diagnose those kinds of illnesses is by looking at a constellation of symptoms and biomarkers over time. For example, if your doctor suspects you might have Wilson's disease, they'll look at how your liver enzymes and bilirubin levels change over time and how your copper metabolism is interacting with your protein levels. This is tough work. It requires a lot of data and a robust longitudinal analysis. It's prone to human error, and it's simply just not that reliable. In today's paper, these authors aren't trying to replace the work that your doctors would be doing, but they are attempting to build a tool that can make their work more efficient and better able to spot disease patterns well before a traditional diagnosis. How? Well, their idea goes like this. 1. Gather together years of historical data for millions of patients, including all the routine blood tests that they had during that time. 2. Label that data with the disease that the person ended up being diagnosed with at some point. And 3. Train a supervised model that can learn what someone's routine blood tests start to look like months or years before they're diagnosed with any disease. And boom, you've got an early warning system for illnesses like cardiovascular diseases, leukemias and lymphomas, Cushing's syndrome, Addison disease, and many more. This system is not intended to be a consumer-facing product. This is a professional tool. Something a doctor could use during the diagnostic process to help flag areas that the doctor should review manually. Since the application is a trained model, when the doctor uses it, they are effectively comparing the current patient's history against the medical history of millions of others in a matter of seconds. And if it works, it's helping them diagnose and treat conditions earlier than they ever would have caught them. So, how did they build this thing? Well, it all started with the dataset. They collected 15 years of anonymized medical histories and lab results from 1.3 million patients in Hungary. Those lab results included all the routine tests and blood panels you or I would get during a checkup. White blood cell count, red blood cell count, hemoglobin, glucose, creatinine, liver enzymes, C-reactive protein, cholesterol, thyroid-stimulating hormone, and electrolytes, among others, many others. Then they had to label the data. Remember, they were training a supervised model, not an unsupervised one. This means they needed to feed the patient data into the model with labels that indicated what condition or conditions the patient was ultimately diagnosed with and when. The timestamp was important because the model was specifically tasked with identifying trends that appear well before a clinical diagnosis, not after. So in other words, if the patient was diagnosed with lymphoma in 2010, they'd focus their efforts on the data from 2009 and earlier. In order to train their model, they needed to decide which algorithms they were going to use. They were considering a bunch of them: logistic regression, random forests, support vector machines, gradient boosting, and neural networks, among others. To narrow down this list, they just trained a whole bunch of different models and then compared the results. They split the training data into one set for training and one set for testing. Then they trained each model and calculated accuracy, sensitivity, specificity, and area under the curve metrics for each one. As it turned out, there wasn't really a clear winner. Each algorithm had certain strengths and weaknesses, so they decided to create an ensemble model instead. In an ensemble model, in general, several different algorithms are combined to work together. It aggregates their predictions in one of two main ways: voting or weighting. Weight like W-E-I-G-H-T, not W-A-I-T. In a voting ensemble, each algorithm casts a vote for its predicted outcome, and the final decision is based on the majority or plurality of votes. In a weighting ensemble, the predictions of each algorithm are weighted according to their reliability or historical performance, and the final prediction is a combination of these weighted outputs. Internally, ensembles use techniques like bagging, where models are trained on slightly different subsets of data to reduce variance, or boosting, where models are sequentially trained to correct the errors of previous models. In this particular paper, the ensemble used a weighting approach and adaptive boosting. This means that the algorithms that performed better on the training data had a greater influence on the final prediction. With their model trained, it was time to see if it worked. But they didn't just want to validate the results against their dataset. They wanted to see if this would work in real life. So they did a combination of traditional number crunching and real-world validation. In the lab, they tested their ensemble model using both retrospective and prospective datasets. For retrospective, they evaluated the model on historical data where the outcomes were already known. For prospective, they evaluated the model on newly collected data to see how well the model performed in predicting outcomes for cases that emerged after the model was trained. The ensemble was evaluated on its ability to detect 14 disease categories: thyroid diseases, liver diseases, kidney diseases, lipoprotein metabolism disorders, diabetes mellitus, non-infectious inflammatory bowel diseases, nutritional anemias, other anemias, systemic autoimmune disorders, gallbladder and pancreatic disorders, other immune disorders, cardiovascular diseases, leukemias and lymphomas, and adenocarcinomas of the digestive system. They used the same performance metrics that they had used back when they were trying to pick a training algorithm. But to further validate its reliability, the team introduced temporal and regional variations in the test data by drawing from different hospitals and time periods. This created a kind of simulation of real-world diversity. That's about as far as they could get in the lab. So the next step was to take this model to the real world. The researchers worked with the team at SYNLAB Hungary to get the model deployed in clinical settings across the country. In total, they were able to test the system on more than 8,000 outpatients and compare the AI's predictions with diagnoses made by medical professionals. The results were impressive. In the lab, the ensemble achieved mean ROC-AUC scores around 0.93 for most disease categories. But more importantly, it was able to detect diseases up to 6 to 9 months earlier than standard diagnostic methods, and do so with strong sensitivity and specificity. In the real-world validation, the AI's predictions aligned with clinician evaluations over 95% of the time for most diseases. Some categories, like thyroid and lipid disorders, neared 99% alignment. Overall, when doctors used this tool, it reduced the time they took for diagnostic report evaluation by over 50%. It also showed promise in identifying rare diseases. It had high precision for conditions like familial hypercholesterolemia and Gilbert syndrome, though performance varied in cases with limited data or very complex presentations. Despite the promising results so far, challenges do remain, and there's still work to be done on this before it's deployed everywhere. The model still needs guide rails to ensure consistent performance across diverse populations. And it needs the cases that resulted in underdiagnosis or misdiagnosis to be flushed out and remedied. This is particularly true for rare diseases with fewer data points. Future research will likely focus on integrating additional data sources and refining the model to handle edge cases more effectively. And lastly, broader deployment beyond the borders of Hungary will require somehow addressing thorny ethical and data privacy concerns, and integrating mechanisms for both clinician and regulatory oversight. If you want to dig further into this research, see how they train their model, or review the techniques that they use to validate it, I'd encourage you to download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. Hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.